for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 327 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week is a very special one as we talk about a book that's coming out this Saturday during Free Comic Book Day. Hopefully your local store has ordered it. Again, I always recommend that you get there early so you can get the choices that you want. And please be sure to get this very first Scout Comics Free Comic Book Day offering. It highlights the mall, and we're talking with two of the creators, James Hake and Rafael Loureiro, which I really fractured, but Raf will be along to tell us exactly how it's pronounced in just a minute. We discuss how the book came to be, about what we can expect from the series when it starts up from Scout before too long, as well as some background on Raf and James as they talk about putting this series together, which I'm expecting to be a big hit. We learn a little bit about Raf's country, Brasil, I think that's pronounced right, as well as his artistic background, so I'm sure you're going to enjoy what they have to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get to it. It's great to welcome back to the podcast James Hake, the creator of Solar Flare, and who is a high mucky muck these days in Scout Comics. How are you doing, James?
I'm good, Wayne. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, good talking with you again. And then we're going to talk to Rafael, whose name I would surely butcher. So, Rafael, why don't you say how your last name is pronounced?
Hey, Wayne, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
My last name's Portuguese in origin, so it's pronunciated Loureiro. Here in Brazil, we have that pronunciation of the R kind of different from you guys.
Right.
You go the Catwoman way, like brrrr. Well, for us, very natural. You guys kind of have a hard time. I understand that.
Well, we do it, but we butcher it.
It's very good so far.
All right. Well, we're here to talk about a book that's coming out this Saturday. It's coming out on Free Comic Book Day, and it's called The Mall. And it's a very interesting story. Well, why don't you go ahead and start talking about what The Mall is all about?
All right. Well, basically, The Mall, it takes place in everybody's favorite decade, the 1980s, where a criminal organization has run out of a mall at the height of their indoor, height of the popularity. And the head of the organization dies, and his three illegitimate children inherit the mall. And, of course, they're in high school at the time, and craziness ensues. Mm-hmm. So Rafael is the most amazing artist on it, and we did a 16-page self-contained preview story. It was kind of like a jump-ahead moment, and it'll be in Scout's first Free Comic Book Day offering. It's actually called Scout Presents The Mall, and there's a whole bunch of previews of many different titles coming out the remainder of this year in the early next year for Scout. So really, really excited to share this story and to show off Rafael's amazing, amazing artwork. He is quite a talent, man. And I've told him many times on email how amazing his pages are. And yeah, it's good to actually tell you in person, buddy. You're very, very talented. And I can't wait to share with everybody issue number one, too, which we just pretty much wrapped up.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Oh, man. James is far too kind. I mean, I certainly had a blast doing this, so it really helps. When the story is so good, you want to give your best to show everything you're reading on the script, So if everything looks the way it looks, James has a big portion of credit in that.
Well, Raf, I'm just kind of curious. Is this your first sequential art story? Because I see you on several art sites, but I don't know. Maybe in Brazil it's a different comic scene, and you're maybe bigger down there, but I couldn't find much up here in the States.
Yeah, not really. When you guys were talking about your story together, I kind of envy you because we don't have that big of a
convention scene.
Yeah. We only have so many small ones, and we have one big one at the end of the year. So we don't have that many stories. Actually, we do have another one, which is in May, the end of May, which is our comic book festival.
Oh, nice.
And it's a lot of actually people from outside of Brazil come to it because it's an international festival. So we always end up bumping big names in there.
Are you going to be doing that one?
Not this year. Me and my girlfriend are going more as a what's the word?
Like a unit, like a collection, the collective.
No.
Or as fans.
No, like a little vacation, you know.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna be civilians there this year.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. Have you done much in the way of sequential art before? I mean, because I'm fascinated because
so
you did such. You did such a beautiful job with it. I'm just wondering because I tried to find other ones you had done before so I could introduce you with them. I couldn't find them, so I'm kind of fascinated. Is this really your first sequential art?
Yes and no. Actually, I don't have a lot of time doing this. Like maybe 4 years, I think, doing the independent scene, and because of that, most of the work I've done, I don't really know if it has ever been published or not, because since I've been working as a work for hire guy, most of my work ends up going to, I don't know, man. I really, really don't know. The guys just pay me, send the pages. They say, hey, thank you, looks good, bye. And
wow. That's it.
So a lot of the things I've done, I've never seen published. Maybe because I was working with so many stuff along the way, I didn't have the time to look for it. I know one that got published. It's called House of Horror by 1031 Publishing.
That's good. I definitely want to check out, because essentially what you're saying to Wayne and I are that you're the comic's best secret. And you're about to have a big reveal coming up here, buddy. Because
well, I surely hope so. I really hope so.
I think so, man. I can't wait to see when people see this book and issue number one, how, I mean, again, you're going to be revealed to a much larger audience.
Well, I hope so, man.
You are, man. And I'm looking forward to seeing more stuff. And again, completing the story. The whole team we've had, Wayne, has been great. We got a color, and I'm going to butcher his name, too, and you've worked with him before. He was actually recommended to us by Raphael. Is Dijo, is that how you pronounce it, Lima?
Yeah. It's exactly that.
He's
Diego, but his artistic name is Dijo. So.
He's quite the talent himself, too, and you were saying that he's starting to get more and more work because he's getting noticed as well, and then
he does a lot of stuff at the same time. I envy him because on that regard, he is a machine.
He's fantastic, man. And you know what? I've seen you just shared with me recently the covers for issue 1 and 2 that you did for the mall, and you're quite the color yourself, man.
Well, I have to share a secret with you. I'm actually colorblind. So,
are you really?
Yeah, that's why I don't do much more. Of that kind of stuff. So,
well, you just revealed the secret to the world, pal. on the podcast. But man, okay, well, in that case, it's even more impressive. Wait until people see it. Great job.
I actually have my girlfriend color checking me sometimes just so to make sure that people don't have like a green skin or green skin or stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
That actually happened once, and she's like, hey, he's kind of green.
Well, very cool, man.
I had a lady who dyed her hair, and when she colored it, she wanted it to be blonde, but it came out like the Joker. And she came into work and says, what do you think of my hair? I said, I think it's green. What? I said, yeah, look at it. It's green. Oh, well, everyone else tells me it's blonde. And sorry, I don't know what they're seeing, but it's green. You know, so I'm always kind of interested.
They just didn't want to have that awkward conversation that you were having. That's basically what it was.
The terrible thing is I'll tell the truth. That's the horrible thing about all this. I'll tell
them. Yeah, you got to do that, man. I love you, honey, no matter what color your head is.
That's right. So, okay, so, of course, now that leads right into another question, is how you guys hooked up to do this book. James, did you find Raphael
somewhere? I will give... see, another person that I completely left out, and I didn't mean to leave out, is the co-creator of the mall. He's also, he does, he co-created the History Channel's Nightfall. He writes The Rift, which is just has been optioned. It was a Red 5 comic. His name is Don Hanfield. Such a nice guy. And 100% of the credit goes to Don on finding Raphael. Like, I mean, it... When he first showed me some of your pages that you have posted up on your – was it DeviantArt or Digital Webbing? Do you know where did Don find you?
You know, that's something I was thinking about these last few days because we were going to have the podcast. And I sincerely do not remember, man. I mean –
I want to say Digital Webbing. At least that's what Don – I recall Don telling me.
Oh.
And we went through a couple of different potential artists and – all of them amazing in their own right, but man, you fit this project perfectly. And he just did a heck of a job finding you. And we're all very excited. I mean, the whole creative team, even our letterer, DC Hopkins, he letters Solar Flare. He works at Anworld Design. He's, again, one of the nicest guys in the comic and hardest working. He does so many different books. You'd be surprised. But there's a lot of buzz behind our book, man. And it's been great. It's been great. I can't wait for you to get... I just sent you some, and you should hopefully get those pretty soon.
Yeah. Like I told you, our mail service here has been kind of crappy in these past months. So I'm not sure I'm going to get them that soon.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not your concern, I believe.
I just can't wait, man. You'll have your physical. It's a nice box of them, and... there's more to come, man. And I was going to tell you off air, but I'll tell you now too, is once we get some issue number ones, there's going to be, from the sounds of it, quite a lot variant covers. I mean, there's going to be quite a bit of them from different organizations promoting our book, basically. So I'll be sending you care packages from time to time with
great.
A whole bunch of them. It's going to be exciting, man. A lot of excitement coming up in these next couple months.
Oh, that's great. Wayne asked me about my beginnings, I believe, in comics.
Mm-hmm.
The first comic I did has not been published yet, and it was done by a Brazilian publisher, mm-hmm. and they have like, financial problems and stuff. And it was like I poured my heart and soul on it. I was like, no, this has got to be good, man. And that broke my heart back then. I was like, oh, man, I worked so hard on it.
How long was it? What was it? Do you remember the like? How many pages did you do? Was it something you created yourself, or was it a work?
I was the artist. I did pencils, inks, and colors. It was like 24 pages, and I did it in like a month.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nightmare because I was like waking up at 6 a.m., going to sleep at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Wow.
Nightmarish. And in the end was like, oh man, so sorry, we're not gonna be able to do the rest of the story because it broke.
Do you have the pages, or who has the pages of this stuff?
I do have the pages because I do my work digitally for the past like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
You might want to hang on to those, because if this takes off as everybody, there's a lot of buzz going on about them all, and I think that you might get requests for other stuff you've done. If that's the case, you might get a chance to see that in print as things develop.
Oh, I sure hope so.
Yeah, nice. I mean, let us know. I mean, I have an in with our publisher now, so I don't know if you want to, you know, submit it, but I can definitely get it in the front of the right people, man.
I would have to talk to the guys who own it, you know, the writers and the people. But I'm pretty sure they would be interested in something like that. You know?
Be sure to forward me the information, man. That's something, again, I'd love to see it too, just to see it, because I'm a big fan of your art. And, man, there's going to be – I'm just really excited for you, buddy.
I need to get used to that, man, because no one really says that kind of stuff to me.
Oh, that's so shameful. And people listening to this are going to – very soon know what I'm talking about, how shameful it is to hear that. So I'm excited for this year coming up, man. I really am. And like I told you in one of our conversations, I think the big boys Marvel and DC, after they see your work, are going to come calling, man. And, you know, that was a question I think everyone should hear. It's like I asked Raph, basically, if you could draw any DC character, what would it be? And if you could draw any Marvel character, what would it be? So can you answer that for everybody? But, like, I liked your answers.
What did I answer you? Let me check on the place.
on the stream.
Man, I have a very terrible memory. I'm sorry. let me check. Like I said, I believe what I told you was the first book I read, like, this is cool, you know, was The Death of Superman.
Yep.
And I was like, man, this is like, wow. To me, back then, that was like, wow, they're killing Superman, man. So that made me want to do my books like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe...
I could have sworn Marvel, you told me Daredevil was the guy that you wanted to do. Was it Daredevil or was it...
Let me see. Here it is. I grew up reading Superman.
Uh-huh.
And then I crossed to Marvel and got really hooked into Iron Man for a while.
That's who it was. Yes.
Back when they were doing the Extremis story arc.
With AD Renoff.
Yeah. It was even before the movies. It was like way, way, way before.
Yep. I remember that book. It was a great, great, great story arc they did there. And the art was incredible. That was one of the very first most digital artists back then. Like he... What is it, Addy? Is that how it's pronounced, Wayne? Addy Granoff?
It is. Mm-hmm. Russian thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was, I mean, just, he's incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, and then Marvel was having this guy from Serbia do some covers for them. I believe it's Marko Djurjevic.
Yes, he's very
good. I'm butchering his name. He was, man, he's amazing. I was looking his Instagram today. I was like, man, that guy can paint, man.
Yeah, he's incredible too. There's a lot of, I mean, I'll have to say, and you probably concur too, being in Brazil, is that digital art has made things so, like, you know, 10 years ago, man, we would have never been able to work together if you didn't have digital art. You know, just think of how hard it would be. You'd have to send, you know, pages to us or scan them on high res. I mean, it's wild how much can be created in this day and age thanks to digital. It really is.
Yeah, really helped a lot. I mean, we had artists from Brazil working for Marvel DC for I believe almost 30 years now. And a lot of great guys do stuff like that. John Hayes is one of them, the big guy. I mean,
mm-hmm. Do you do this full time, bud? Like, is this your full time? Is doing art full time job, or do you?
Yeah, it's my full-time profession now.
Nice.
I began as a art assistant for an advertising company.
Okay.
Then I left. I went to be a salesman for like 2 years and studied a hell of a lot because I really wanted to be doing comics.
Mm-hmm.
And we here in where I live now is São Paulo. We have this school, and it was founded by the first guy from Brazil to work for the U.S. market in comics. His name is Marcelo Campos. His school here is called Quanta Art Academy.
Okay.
It's where most of the guys from Brazil came out, I believe, to work.
Like the Kubert, the Joe Kubert Art School here in Savannah. School of Art and Design those are two very popular schools here.
I believe it's our version of that because we had so many great guys coming out of Brazil. Like I share a studio with a lot of guys that came from that school and then became teachers at that school.
Cool, man. So you guys like go to someone rents a studio and you all like kind of split the costs and stuff? Like,
yeah,
you guys,
yeah. Basically that, yeah.
Oh, that's great, man. How many are there?
A lot of guys, I believe that 6 or 7 people. A lot of them work with games, doing art for games. A lot of guys do, what's the word for educational books, I think.
Okay.
I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff. And on top of all of that, we do, most of the guys there do, I believe all of them actually do independent comics. We have a very big scene for independent comics here in Brazil, actually. Gail Simone said
the writer, yeah.
Yeah, I'm paraphrasing, I'm not sure if she said that, but someone told me that she said that the next comic book revolution would come from Latin America. And I'm not sure if that's true or not. I heard that on the convention floor.
Uh-huh.
So sorry if that's not true. And I totally believe
that. I think she's probably right. Just based on what I've seen, and I know what Wayne's seen, Wayne's got his ear to the ground when it comes to independent comics and new artists and whatnot. And yeah, Latin America has, I mean, they've always had talent, but now it's getting the recognition.
It's blowing up. I mean, last year at the Comic Con we had here, most of the tables from the Artist Alley, I believe it was like 250 tables, at least 200 of those had comic books, man.
That's awesome.
All pro comic books, you know, independent comic books done by the guys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And girls, a lot of women do it.
Do you guys have a studio name? Do you name your studio, or is it just that's the place?
Not really, I believe. Because it was a fusion of two previous studios.
Okay.
So it was the Dead Hamster guys and the Quad guys.
Okay.
So they fused the studios together, and we don't really have a name for it. You know? I'm the new guy from the studio, so.
Got you.
Well, let me dive in and say a thing or two. When I saw the picture inside the mall and I watched the people walking around inside the mall when you drew it, I could hear the overhead music when I was looking at the picture. That's how realistic that was to me. It really got me. I could hear the music in the background.
That's awesome.
And then also what I wanted to say, too, is expressions are really strong that you do, Raph, because there's a couple of them that really, when he's like kind of looking dreamily out there and he's got a slight smile on his face, Diego does, the main character. You know, I kind of felt, I could understand what he was feeling. And then when the girls are all sitting there, they got one or two hands on their faces as they sit there, it was just a great, I thought the artwork was wonderful. And it's just, I really have to commend you. I think it's a wonderful, even when they get into a little bit of action sequence, I hurt when I see certain people getting punched. So, it's really amazing. It's really good stuff. So I commend you.
I really appreciate that.
Wait until you see the very last page of issue number one.
Mm.
It's pretty awesome what you did, man. Like, I mean, you just nailed it. And people... notice the shadows in the fountain. That's a little non-spoiler spoiler. I love what you did there, man. That was awesome.
Oh, that was a fun page to do, actually, because it was, you know, it's not giving too much away, but it was like a splash page.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to show.
Well, you nailed it, man. You showed it for sure.
Same scene. So that was fun to do.
Let me talk with you a little bit about the story and things like that. You talked about that you and Dan developed this property.
Oh, it's Don. Yep.
Don, sorry, I got Don.
Oh, no problem. I met Don last year at San Diego Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting in some meetings that the head of Scout set up, and Don's company, he works with Jeremy Renner. Which he's producing partners. They own a studio called The Combined, and they produce movies like The Founder, which stars Michael Keaton, and is all about McDonald's. And Don's directed, I think it was called Touchback, I want to say. Kurt Russell stars in it. He directed it, wrote it. It won some festival awards. Again, just really, really a heck of a nice guy. And I had a pitch packet of them all. Like, it was something I was going to work on, but my other title, Solar Flare, which is heading into season 3, we do 6-issue seasons, and it's heading into season 3 in August. You know, I was there kind of pitching that to Don for potential multimedia stuff, and I had a little packet of them all, and I kind of shared the concept. It came up organically, and he loved it. Long story short, we decided to work together on this, develop it together at the ground level, do a comic, hopefully do a TV show, and that's looking extremely promising already, and it hasn't even been released. And I've developed quite the friendship with Don, and yeah, he's a great guy, heck of a talent, great writer, and really excited to be working with everybody. And again, him finding Raphael is just incredible. And then Raphael getting into the book as much as he has is just, it's been really fun. So we're hoping to continue this for the long haul. It's initially going to be 5 issues is what we're doing. And we're doing it in season format, similar to Solar Flare, but a little bit, instead of going 1, 2, 3 seasons, we're doing fall, winter, spring, and summer, kind of following a school year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal of it. And yeah, we're releasing the fall of 84, which is what the trade eventually is going to be called. And I really can't wait for everybody to read it and hopefully one day watch it from their couch on the television. So that's the ultimate dream. And after getting to know Don, I really think it's going to get done. I really, truly do. And a lot sooner than most people think.
Be great. Now, Raph, did you design these characters to look like people that you knew, or are these kind of, did their look come from your own imagination?
Well, I had a bit of some guidelines from the guys. You know, these guys have to look like certain people. I did have a lot of freedom, actually, because when I submitted the first looks for them, they really had no notes, actually.
Yeah, you nailed them, man. Absolutely nailed them.
And I did watch a lot of 80s movies for the mood, you know, to get some, like, the mood.
Which movies
did
you watch, out of curiosity?
Most of the ones we used for the covers, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
like Breakfast Club,
16 Candles.
Nice.
The one with Joan Cryer, I forget.
Oh, Pretty in Pink.
Exactly. I basically had a lot of dreams with Molly Ringwald, you know.
That's yeah, she's in like all of them.
Like, she was like in all of them.
Yep.
That was fun.
You know, they called them the, like, back when it was coming out, there was a group of actors, they called them the Brat Pack.
Really?
Yeah, they would show up. It was Molly Ringwald, Emilio Estevez, Judd Nelson, Ali Sheedy. Almost like the sequel but not sequel to Breakfast Club was called St. Elmo's Fire. Basically that, like, just after college. They're different characters, but I mean it's the Brat Pack.
Oh, I did know that John Cryer, he did it. I saw an interview with him where he said he was like the available Matthew Broderick back then.
Yep.
Everybody wanted Matthew Broderick and he was not available. Oh, get John Cryer.
John Cryer, he was the next
yeah,
step.
That was fun.
Very good.
So, I mean, a lot of the covers we plan on doing, Wayne, mm-hmm. are like homages to popular 80s movies. Like, Raphael did a cover for The Breakfast Club, mm-hmm. like using our characters mm-hmm. and basically reinterpreting it, you know, like the movie poster, which is pretty pretty famous.
Mm-hmm.
And then issue 2 is going to be a 16 Candles homage. And then we were talking about issue 3 being Back to the Future,
mm-hmm.
the iconic cover. Mm-hmm. And one thing I was just talking to Don about it is, and I think we were talking about it on Messenger, Raph, was about having one of the villains actually drive a DeLorean right
yeah,
into the story.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So, because I want to see you draw lots of DeLoreans. I think that's the plan.
Yeah, we were just talking about how it's the most beautiful and impractical car, man.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's so beautiful.
A good buddy of mine is he works at Ferrari. He's a mechanic for Ferrari in Central Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some kind of big convention there. And not only did they actually have one of the cars from Back to the Future in his shop, but they also had the shag mug, you know, the shag wagon from Dumb and Dumber, you know, the van that was dressed up like a dog. So it was there as well. And I actually got to sit in the DeLorean. Mm-hmm. And it's like the blind spots in that thing. And you feel trapped. It's
what,
just
a nightmare.
Nightmare. Absolute nightmare. But someone probably should redesign it and bring it back out, because everyone would want one if it was actually able to drive and it wasn't a death trap.
Yeah, man. It had everything to be like a great car, and it's like, oh, man.
Yeah, it looks so cool. Ah.
Yeah, so, well, if people read the story and they think this is going to be kind of... You know, some people think that these things are a little slow moving, and I have to say this is not. This book has a lot of surprises in it. There are wonderful things. When you get to the very last page in the Free Comic Book Day thing, it poses a couple of questions that I think are going to be answered very soon. I like Diego. I think he's a good guy, and you know, he's got connections, shall we say. And yeah. All the other people around him are going like, how can he do all this stuff? And, of course, you're going to have to get to that as we go along. But I just – it's a well-done book. It's a lot of things happening. I don't want to say action too much, because it's not like a superhero book in that sense. But it's got a lot of good things going on. It keeps your attention going from page to page. Lots of interesting characters. And like I said, the art is really striking and really well done. So I think that the mall is going to be one of those things that's going to get people's attention real quickly. And I do expect we'll see this in not just comic form in the near future, I bet you.
I hope so. Knock on wood. And regardless, though, I just can't wait. I get excited every time I get a page from Raphael. It's awesome. It's just so good. And then with seeing the colors, I can't wait to physically hold issue one in my hand. Again, I still just I can't wait. I'm heading to this Saturday. I'm actually traveling to the Atlanta, Georgia area to go to a shop and do a signing. And I know Don is going to be in Rancho Cucamonga. He's going to be sitting with Joe Pruitt of Aftershock and Garth Ennis. He's going to be sitting with them signing copies of the mall. So if any of the listeners are in Rancho Cucamonga or Lawrenceville, Georgia, where I'm going to be, come stop by, grab a copy. We'll have plenty. And I know the store will have plenty as well. And unfortunately, I know I already know the answer to this, but they don't really do Free Comic Book Day in Brazil, do they?
No, we don't have that. Unfortunately, we don't have that.
Hopefully that will be soon. I mean, essentially what it is all the major publishers, there's probably going to be about 30 to 50 titles that are released from DC, Marvel, Diamond Distributors, which is the only distributor and the biggest distributor of comics in the world. You have to get the approval. It's very difficult for the publisher to actually get a offering. And honestly, I'm going to be 100% honest, Raph, that's because of you, man. They saw your art and they loved it. So, again, thank you. It gave Scout a huge opportunity. I think you had a lot to do with it. And I'm really excited. I think we're going to get many more offerings thanks to this book. And people just go to the comic store and they can usually, sometimes they put limits, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10, but you can get up to, I think it's 30 books.
Man.
Just walk in and there's lines around the building. Richard and Wayne are actually doing my hometown this year, Fort Myers, Florida. Mm-hmm. They're actually going to be doing the comic store that I've done 2 years in a row. I'm going out tomorrow for like a pre-signing. I'm giving away some of the ash cans that we had printed, which is a preview of the Free Comic Book Story tomorrow or on Saturday. What's it? April 28th.
Yeah.
And I remember from the doors opening at 9 a.m. till 5 o'clock, they had to basically wrangle people in and out, meaning only a certain amount of people were allowed because of fire marshal law. Wow. And it was just incredible. And you get to meet so many people. It's very cool.
Well, now you raised a question, of course, James. Let's say you go to your store and for some reason they didn't order this. How do you get a hold of this Free Comic Book Day copy? Is there a digital version out there? How do you do it?
There is a digital version, and it will be available after on Free Comic Book Day at our website, which is www.scoutcomics.com, and you can either put /store or click on the store tab, and it'll be available for free download there right on release date. On top of that, we will have some available, I think, print copies as well. If you buy something in the store, we can throw a few, a copy in We'll probably be doing that for the entire month of May. But you can buy all our books from Scout at scoutcomics.com/store. Mm-hmm. And when all becomes available, we'll have that. Or if you see any one of us on the convention circuit, we should have a lot of the, you know, not just our own books, but mm-hmm. other Scout titles as well.
Do you want to talk real briefly about the other books that are in this free comic book day offering, James, while we're at it?
Yeah, sure. Some very, very cool offerings. They're not as long as our preview that we did. We have 16 pages in there of a 32-page book. But they have this new series coming out called Monarchs, which is done by A.C. Medina. He's a writer of Elasticator and the series that's coming out right now called Welcome to Paradise. Mm-hmm. We have a book that's coming out soon from Paul Jenkins, who he's the guy who wrote Origin, The Origin of Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Many different things. Heck of a nice guy. It's called Genetica. Mm-hmm. And that's coming out, I believe, at the end of this year. And then we have another book coming out called Oblivion. And that's written by Ken Christensen, who is actually the head writer of the Punisher Netflix show. So that one looks very, very promising. Another book from Don Hanfield, which is the co-writer of them all, called The Source, which I know quite a bit about that one. It's a cross between The Matrix and Harry Potter. A realistic take on magic. And I've read the Ash Canon. It's awesome. And the artist,
by Leno. He's a friend of mine.
Leno?
Very good guy.
He's a heck of a talent. Is he Brazilian as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he does. Dom and him have worked before. They did a 4-issue series called The Rift. Yep. And that was published by Red 5. That was actually just recently optioned to be a TV show, which is going to be awesome. And I'm sure when Don can, he'll announce the details of that. But Leno is actually doing that as well, The Source with Don. And I've seen some of the pages, and wow, man, they are fantastic.
Mm. And what
so
about
that's coming out in September. Mm-hmm. And then one that I'm really – it's not in the book, but I'm really excited about is Stabbity Ever After, which our number one title with Scout is Stabbity Bunny. Mm-hmm. And this is a one-shot that's going to be done by the creator Richard Rivera and Ryan Kincaid, who did this amazing Donnie Darko cover of Stabbity Bunny for number two. It was a variant cover. They're collaborating and doing this. Basically, it's going to be a mature-themed book, but it's Stabbity taking on villains. It's going to be ultra-action-packed, a little bit violent, where the bunny's going to take on evil. And I cannot wait to see it. And that it gets released this September. Mm-hmm. So,
what about Zinnober?
Oh, Zinnober. Yes.
What about that book?
Remind me of that, Wayne. Mm-hmm. That comes out this June. Have you seen this, Raphael?
No, Zinnober? I haven't.
So the art, his name is Raph Singh. He is German. Ooh. And the concept is it's like a post-apocalyptic tale where dragons have come back. And this is 20 years after the fact. The art story, it's amazing. The art, you should see the covers. They're coming out in this June, so very, very shortly. And I think it's going to be the next huge success for Scout because – the cover, they have a variant cover of this beautiful red dragon. It's, I mean, unbelievable. But Zinnober, I just found this out recently, is German for cinnamon. That's the name. So, Cinnamon Number One, or Zinnober, is coming out, I believe, the second week of June. So we should have some available at our web store when that's available. You know, the best thing to do for any of the listeners out there, if you want to get any of our Scout comics, and I am so proud to be part of this company and have my creations next to the other creators that are there, because it doesn't really matter what type of genre that you like. Scout has something for everybody, whether you have sci-fi, horror, all ages, realistic based, crime. We have it all, and they're quality stories, quality art. And you can just get them at our website, but the best thing to do is to pre-order. Go to your local comic shop, say, we want Scout Comics, and get them, you know, on your subscription list.
I've said this before, and I still think it's true, that Scout is the up-and-coming company right now. I just think you guys do the best stuff as far as if you're not, you know, DC and Marvel, of course, are always going to have their large followings, but I think that Scout is that company that people should pay attention to right now. If you're not getting Scout books, you really should.
I'm biased, but I agree with you 100%, man. And again, keep finding talented individuals and artists like Leno, like Raphael, like Branko, who's the artist of Solar Flare. I mean, I don't know if I told you this, Raphael, but he's from Serbia, Branko. And I met him on DeviantArt. And gosh, we've known each other for about 3 years. He's doing my other book. I don't know if I told you this either, but I have in July, not only is the Mall number one coming out, but Long Live Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, I saw the Ashcan, and it's really amazing.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's coming out. We're doing it a number zero issue, and it's going to be the launch of Scout's new Binge imprint. And the concept there is releasing this number zero or number one issue. It's going to be a teaser, and then very shortly thereafter, we're going to be releasing the full trade of a season, basically season one of the show. And we're kind of doing it the Netflix model, where everyone, that's how they watch their TV now. We're going to test it out. We have a couple other titles that are coming out soon, and can't wait to let you know the world know what those are going to be. But the first one is going to be about wrestling, and it's a realistic take on professional wrestling. I think that's why I've been a fan. It's not always been easy to admit that I'm a fan, but a lot of us comic fans have gravitated towards wrestling at least some point in our lives, because essentially a lot of wrestlers were real life superheroes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good versus evil. But like some comics, you know, it's all about storytelling. You know, they tell a story physically in the ring, and there's drama involved, and sometimes it's really terrible and sometimes it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it seems like it's more terrible than amazing lately, but I'm trying to give it. My goal as a writer on that book is to not only like a tip of the cap to wrestling fans out there, but hopefully at least let people who don't understand wrestling, let them know why people are fans of it. And that's the backstage drama that goes on, the actual real things that are going with these people who travel the world together to perform. Like it's like a carnival, like a modern day carnival. Mm-hmm. If you think about it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that comes out in July as well. I mean, it's a very exciting time, man. I really can't wait to share those titles. And again, both the artwork by Raphael and Branko is just incredible.
Okay. No, and of course, we want to make sure that people can follow up with stuff. Raph, how do people follow up and keep up with what you're doing? Are you on Facebook?
I am on Facebook, but I'm kind of lazy on Facebook, to be honest. I do post more on Instagram.
Okay.
What's my Instagram handle? It's Loureiro_art. Mm-hmm. Or if you like look for my name, I believe it's gonna show up. If you can like copy the link, I'll send it to you. So when you post the video or the podcast, it's
okay
over there.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I believe ArtStation has a gallery as well with my name, with nice. My stuff. DeviantArt maybe, I don't remember. But mostly Instagram, I think.
Okay. All right. So that'd be good. We do that kind of good things to keep up with you. Yeah, I just found you on there. I'm going to follow you right now. There we go. All right.
Oh, thanks, man.
So we'll do that right now. Now, as far as you, James, how about you? What's the best way to keep up with, like, with the stuff that you're doing? Because it used to be I could just follow Solar Flare and I could keep up with you. But now you've got all these irons in the fire. We need to know other places to be able to keep up with you.
Well, I'm a contributor on the Scout Comics Facebook page. I still post quite regularly on my Solar Flare comic website and also Facebook page. And Raphael, Don, and I post regularly on the Mall Facebook page. So basically, facebook.com/solarflarecomic or /themallcomic or slash long live pro wrestling. And you'll find pages there that'll give updates. But I tend to share on all the pages everything that's going on with the other titles as well. And of course, Scout Comics has a website and also a Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram. I really need to join the Instagram world. I have not yet, and I've been scolded for not by some of my creator friends. So I need to jump on that bandwagon. I'm very late to the game when it comes to that. But
well, yeah. I have to say that you guys' stuff is great. The Mall, I think, is going to catch people's attention and be a big seller when it comes out. And I hope that I can encourage people this Saturday. Go to your free comic book day here in the U.S. and be sure to get look for it's Scout Comics Zero. It's his free comic day on it, and it's kind of pink with some white faces and stuff. And so look for the pink. I think that'll stand out real well as far as things. This is just the beginning of the story, so I think you're going to really enjoy it. I think Raffy did a beautiful job on the art. James, you and Don did a beautiful job on the story. I think this is one of those things that we'll see a lot more of as it goes forward in the future.
Thanks, Wayne. And again, thanks for having us on. And Raph, it's great to finally talk with you, man.
Yeah, after so long, right?
Yeah.
Keep
up the great work, and excited to share you with the world, basically. Your art with the world. And people are in for a treat. I guarantee it, man. I'd bet the house.
Like I said, I'm not really used to hearing that kind of stuff about me.
Get used to it, buddy, because people are going to – it's going to happen more frequently. That's for sure.
I hope so. I really would like to thank you guys for having me. Wayne, thank you for having me here.
Oh, sure.
James, thank you for all the work we're doing so far. It's great to be a part of it. Huge shout out to Don for finding me, because if he had not found me, I believe we would not be having this conversation right now.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's great to be a part of this, man. I've never had so much fun doing a book.
That's awesome.
I really am looking forward to the script for issue two, because I really have fun doing this, man. I cannot stress this enough. I really have fun doing it.
That's great.
If half of what you guys said about it is true, how much you guys liked it, it is because James did such a great job with the script.
That's me and Don. It's been great. We've been working well together.
Don really did a heck of a job as well doing it. I cannot stress this enough. Again, you guys make it easy for me.
Good to hear, buddy.
Well, someday in the future when this book takes off, I want to see the three of you guys together.
Yes,
at a convention.
We've already preliminary talked about that.
Oh, good.
Offered Raphael and his girlfriend a place to stay if they ever want to do a few cons overseas here in the Florida area.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to meet Wayne. I just threw another carrot at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. That'd be good.
Wayne and Richard, they do a lot of shows with us. And it'll be about blast, man. I'm telling you.
It's on my plans. Be sure of it. One day I'll be knocking on your door over there.
That's good, man.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast, so you can keep reading your comics.
That's a wrap for this episode. Be sure to be back next week when I'll have another great interview. But until then, keep reading your comics.